We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, so should the Bishop of Buffalo resign his position? And, you know, if you're just joining us, you got off of work after a hard day, 4 o'clock, and you're saying, wow, Bowerly's doing this topic again? And, yeah, and believe me, I don't like it any more than you do. In recent hours, we have had a seminarian step forth to say he was basically abused in all sorts of ways at Christ the King Seminary. And what I found interesting that happened in the past, 45 minutes to an hour or so, words trickling through from the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo that Father Richard, a guy who had been with the bishop, every time the bishop was here at this radio station, he asked for and received a personal leave of absence from his job as secretary to the Bishop of Buffalo after first, as we understand it, obtaining legal counsel and legal advice. And I guess, you know, the fundamental question here is, do you feel confident and comfortable as a Catholic with Richard Malone at the helm of the diocese? And as I said at the beginning of the topic, just so you know, I like the bishop. I would say that I have an excellent relationship with the bishop. I don't know him as a member of his flock. I know him as a man. And a man who's under a lot of pressure, a man for whom a lot of the stuff that I think was laid at his doorstep was stuff that happened before his ascendancy to the bishopric of Buffalo. But, and I'll need a title on that one too, okay, please. But the long and the short of it is, it really is up to you as Roman Catholics to tell me where you are on your bishop, because I know him in a different context than many of you would know him as followers of the Roman Catholic faith. And I hope that what I'm saying makes sense to you. And the other thing that I said at the end of the last hour is, you know, I've also learned not to dive right into opinions on such complex issues without getting as much information as I possibly can first. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say, yes, the Bishop of Buffalo needs to resign, any more than I want to sit here and say, no, the Bishop of Buffalo does not need to resign, without talking to you guys first. And let's go to Dennis. I guess if there's one word that I would appreciate you guys remembering and recognizing about the way I'm doing this show today, and hopefully the way I've done other shows like this, is circumspect, trying to be circumspect, looking at things from every single angle and weighing facts as opposed to emotions. Dennis in South Buffalo, thank you for your patience. You're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi, Tom. Let me give you a little background. I'm 67 years old. I'm a Eucharistic minister in the Catholic Church. I distribute communion. I distribute ashes on Ash Wednesday. I'm a lector. I do Bible readings. And I've been a member of the parish council on two parishes in South Buffalo. The bishop needs to resign. There's just a leadership void that he can't recover from. He had a couple of opportunities when he first disclosed or came out with it. The priests revealed the priests that were on that quote unquote list.
Yes, sir.
He had a chance to come clean. As you just mentioned, a lot of this stuff happened before he came here. He wasn't responsible for it. He had a golden opportunity to just wipe this slate clean. And I wrote a letter to the diocese, an email to the diocese, telling them to remember what happened with the Tylenol scandal. They came clean. not only do they survive it, they thrive because they told the truth. We have a bishop that will not tell the truth.
And by the Tylenol scandal, you're talking about something that happened back in the 80s where even today people do not know who poisoned Tylenol. About 10 or 12 people died as a result of products being tampered with. And to this day, nobody knows who did it. But Tylenol did come forward as soon as practicable to tell people what was going on.
And that is the model of public relations. It's just the model. They did it perfectly.
But the Father Richard thing, I think concerns me greatly because he has been so intimately connected, and I don't mean that in any sick way, so intimately connected with the bishop and his public appearances.
Yes, he has. And when Parisi resigned, he was intimating that these priests are covering up for each other, and or they, it's like, okay, I've got something on you, so whatever I did, you can't say a word. So there's just this culture. I don't belong to a religion anymore. I belong to a cult. There's this culture that is just eating away at the church, and the bishop is doing nothing about it. Then he holds this ridiculous news conference. And gets his lawyers up there. We don't want to hear from lawyers. We want to hear from the bishop. We just don't want to hear from lawyers. I want to hear from the bishop. What is he going to do about it? How is he going to fix it? And how are we going to move forward?
Well, the last time, the bishop has been very accessible to us. The bishop, the last time we spoke with him, he was in Baltimore at the bishop's conference. You might remember the interview we did with him. And we talked at length about the amount of time and the amount of energy, which was rightfully spent on the current scandal, which is engulfing the church. But what you are saying, as somebody who is a very involved Catholic, is this has gone beyond the bishop at this point, and it's time for him to step down.
Yes, somebody's got to come in here and clean house. He had a couple of opportunities to do it, and he was either unwilling or unable to do what needed to be done to give us lay people confidence that how can somebody send, you don't even want to send your kid, my kids, my grandkids, to Catholic schools.
Now, as a Catholic, Dennis, and of course I am not a Catholic, is there anything that I have said that has been factually wrong or something that I should have said to make a better, more cohesive point?
No, not absolutely not. You've presented, like you've always done, you presented the facts as you know them with caveats that, if I don't know, I don't know. But I've listened to either live or in WBEN.com,
right,
every interview that you've done with the bishop. And if you look back and you go back and listen to your interviews with him, and they were great interviews, and you asked him some tough questions, but he was telling you what you wanted to hear. And if you go back and look, a lot of the things that he said he was going to do, he never did. And all bishops are politicians. It's a hierarchy, just like any other organization in society.
Now, Dennis, would you say that the people with whom you worship are of the same belief as you, that the bishop had his chance, he failed in his chance, and now he must resign?
I would say it's 80-20 that he must resign. 80-20.
And what do you make of this whole Father Richard thing? Because that literally went through this radio station like a wildfire.
I don't know. I was working all day. I just heard about it. I'm going to guess, a wild guess, that it has something to do with the seminary, because that's the last two events all were involved in the seminary. And I'll bet Channel 7, who's done a great job on this, has some information, inside information, or leaked documents that will come out. Right? It just priests consulting with lawyers.
I know that it struck me the same way. And part of me wondered, and I want to make it really clear, this is wondering on my part. It is not a statement of fact. One does wonder. I wondered if the seminary had something to do with this, that perhaps Father Richard knew or should have known something that maybe he did not communicate to the bishop in a timely fashion, and maybe that's why he is taking the leave of absence after having conferred with legal counsel. And that, again, is only conjecture. It is not a statement of fact.
And I hope it's simply a sin of omission, that he just neglected or didn't bring something up to the bishop. I hope it's just a sin of omission.
But the bishop has lost you. That is the takeaway that you'd like us to remember from your phone call, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, look, I'm grateful for your call. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Talk to you.
All right, and if anybody is in the same boat as our last caller there, be sure to give us a phone call. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, we've had some issues now with seminarians stepping forward, explaining why they were not going to continue with their career and enter into the priesthood, and now word comes of the leave of absence of the bishop's personal secretary, the man that we just called Father Richard here at News Radio 930 WBEN. Before we go any further, I want to bring in Siobhan O'Connor, former executive assistant to the bishop, and she was the lady who was on 60 Minutes, etc., known as a whistleblower, if you will, within the diocese in some quarters. Ms. O'Connor, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Tom. I appreciate it.
Have you any inside information on the leave of absence from Father Richard?
Well, you know, since I'm no longer privy to the inner workings of the Chancery, I really was stunned, as many people were, to read that statement from the diocese. It didn't seem to reflect at all the press conference that was held this morning by a seminarian who was leaving the seminary, and it kind of came out of nowhere. So it's really quite a shock.
Ms. O'Connor, as far as the doings at the seminary, is this all, to you as somebody who is in the inner workings, does it have the ring of truth? And if it does, why?
With regards to
the sexual harassment and the lack of will to do anything about it.
Yes, unfortunately, I believe that to be very much the case. I believe that many of our seminarians have had to put up with this for decades now, and these two seminarians are now stepping forward and saying that if this is the priesthood being offered to them in this diocese, they don't want it. And that's a terrible tragedy.
You know, I'm going to ask you a question which may be stupid, but it wouldn't be the first time I've asked a stupid question. And it is this. Do you think that there is any possibility that Father Richard may have been privy to the allegations made about what was going on at the seminary and may have failed to communicate that information to the bishop? And that is why, after consulting with legal counsel, he may have taken the leave of absence? And I ask that question with the full knowledge that your answer would be as conjecture-filled as my question.
Correct. And I can only speak from my experience with Father Richard. He was always completely forthright, honest. He was never complicit in anything. He was always one who wanted to bring forth the truth, not to cover it up. So I cannot imagine, knowing him and knowing his personality and his character as I do, I simply can't imagine that would be the case, that he would have failed to report any abuse that was taking place. He himself is a victim of sexual abuse by a priest of our diocese. I know he would not be complicit in any kind of cover-up.
You know, this, and maybe not so much to you, but for a lot of us, the I don't want to say tidal wave, but the drip, drip, drip of allegations, in particular from the seminarians, and then followed by the leave of absence of Father Richard. I can only imagine what this has to do to the inner workings of any organization. And you mentioned, of course, before your key role within the Chancery.
Yes, and I honestly don't know what's going on in there. It seems to be in complete turmoil, and so much of what they say in these statements is either cryptic or confusing or just unrelated. And when I was speaking with a correspondent from Rome yesterday who was inquiring about our diocese, I said, you know, it seems as though our diocese is just slowly bleeding to death because, like you said, there's just been these constant reports and allegations and stories, and I just wish that we had a leader, a bishop, who could take care of this problem instead of contributing to it.
Well, you have been saying for quite some time that you do not believe this bishop should continue with his bishopric and should step down.
Yes, and I very, very emphatically would state that again today, because we really do need a leader. Now there's even more confusion amongst people. There's rumors and gossip and just the confusion of not knowing what is going on and is anyone even taking care of this problem. That's why when I spoke to the correspondent in Rome, I beseeched him. I said, please, we need help from Rome. Bishop Malone clearly is not going anywhere, but we need an investigation in this diocese because we don't know who to trust. And that's a terrible place to be in.
I would like to pick it up from there. Ms. O'Connor, would you be willing to hold on through the news break so we can get some additional perspective from you as somebody who has been there and as somebody who was one of the original whistleblowers, if you prefer?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, Siobhan O'Connor is going to stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, Siobhan O'Connor is with us, and, you know, this story about Father Richard, the personal secretary to Bishop Malone, taking a leave of absence from his position, doing so after apparently consulting with attorneys, the announcement being made today. We're talking with Siobhan O'Connor. You certainly remember the name. And her statement, and I want to read the statement that she put out. It was a privilege to work with Father Richard Bernat for 3 years. I'm a better person and a stronger Catholic because of him. Since I am no longer privy to the inner workings of the Chancery, I can only note that the diocese's cryptic statement makes it clear this is a highly unusual situation. Whatever is going on in there, I can tell you one thing. I have total trust in Father Richard's selfless commitment to the priesthood, our diocese, and our Lord. Father Richard's name is Polish for Richard, which means that I worked closely with two Richards during my time in the Chancery. One of them I trust with my whole heart. The other is Bishop Malone. Siobhan, would you like to expand upon those final two sentences?
Yes. Certainly, it was initially a privilege to work with both of them, but unfortunately, I came to know that Bishop Malone was not the man I thought he was. What he was saying in public did not match what he was doing behind closed doors in the Chancery. But on the contrary, Father Richard became even more the man that I thought he was. He was always charitable, cheerful. He was filled with courage and conviction, and he's a man I can trust as a priest, as a person. I really don't know what's going on, but I can only tell you that time and time again, Bishop Malone lost my trust, and every time, Father Richard maintained and increased my trust in him.
Obviously, we would have no way of knowing this as an absolute fact at this point, but knowing what you know about the inner workings of the diocese and, obviously the scrutiny under which the diocese is right now, do you think that there's any chance that Father Richard may flip or turn on the diocese and reveal information that he has otherwise kept secret?
Well, I mean, I've been saying for a year now that I would hope that there would be more whistleblowers anywhere, nationwide or more close at hand. I can't speak to that. I know that, he's always been a man who is trustworthy, and I trust in however he's going to deal with the situation that he's in. It's got to have been very difficult to be in the Chancery as he was the past year. I couldn't have stood hardly a day longer. So I admire his stamina, and I'm praying for him that come what may, that he will be well, and that our diocese will be healed.
Now, are you taking any heat whatsoever regarding your very public position on what is going on within the Diocese of Buffalo? I mean, for example, have you been called a Judas? Have those calls increased or decreased?
Yes. Just on Sunday, I was told by several people that I should be in jail, that I should have minded my own business, some people have likened me to Martin Luther, Judas, others of that ilk, in terms of either being a traitor or causing division. And I do believe that that's because people are struggling with this entire situation. They don't know who to trust. They would like to trust the bishop and to be able to have faith in him and his leadership. But unfortunately, we're seeing yet again, here's a situation with the NOAC allegations that were raised today again. It's very similar to the Father Yetter case last August. And we see that whenever there's a problem, Bishop Malone tries to avoid it or ignore it. And then if he can't, he tries to cover it up, even when it's a matter of abuse. And that's what I simply can't abide by. So I don't care what people call me,
right?
Because at the end of the day, I have a clear conscience.
Siobhan, the biggest single mistake, in your opinion, and this, of course, does cover the time in which you were an employee, the bishop has made has been what?
That he has not been honest with the people of Buffalo regarding the scope of the abuse tragedy in our diocese, and at the same time that he has contributed to that tragedy by his own decisions and judgments, which he admits were wrong when it comes to adult abuse. So he hid a cover-up, and then he added to it. And at the same time, he has refused to step down, and he has perpetuated this confusion and strife within our diocese. But it's a matter of honesty and integrity that he lacks.
Without intending to betray any of the sanctity of private communications that you may have you had communications with Father Richard since your absence from the diocese, perhaps recent communications?
Well, I've always tried to be, you know, myself whenever I've been recently in his presence when he would be at those listening sessions the bishop has held. So I've waved and I've smiled, but I've tried to respect where he's at. I hope that he knows that I'm still very much his friend, and certainly, I'm praying for him, but I've had to respect the fact that he's in a really tough situation, and associating with me is probably the last thing he needs right now. So I've really given him space.
You are obviously, to me, you sound like a very faithful Catholic. Your advice or your words to other people who are hearing your voice on this radio station, who do consider themselves faithful Catholics, but who are very concerned over what is going on right now and the most recent allegations within the diocese, your words would be what?
They would be that we must keep the faith, as difficult as it is at this time. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and his teachings, and those remain the same no matter who the bishop is, no matter what the situation in the diocese. So please encourage people to keep the faith and to have hope and trust that the truth will be revealed. We know that eventually it always is. In this case, it's been a real saga, a real dramatic situation, but we do have faith in our Lord, and he is the way and the truth and the life. And if we focus on him, we'll get through this. But I also encourage people to please not listen to the gossip and rumor that is running rampant right now. We need to just wait and pray and know that the truth will be revealed.
Well, yeah, I mean, facts, it sounds silly to say it, but obviously facts are really important things, especially, you know, dealing with a situation of such magnitude and such seriousness to so many people. You said at the beginning of our conversation that you had conversations with somebody in Rome, a correspondent in Rome, just the other day. Did you initiate those conversations, or is there that much interest in Rome in what is going on in this diocese halfway across the world?
Yes, in fact, they reached out to me. I was speaking with the Catholic Herald Rome correspondent, and he had been tasked with looking at Vatican oversight of the U.S. dioceses. And his editor said, the first diocese you should look at is Buffalo. And that's why they reached out to me. So they're very concerned about what's going on here, and they're wondering, when is the Vatican going to step in and investigate? So that was the purpose of the interview, and his article was published this afternoon.
Siobhan, one of the things that I want to make sure that I ask you before we let you go, is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you that you were hoping I had asked you that I failed to do?
Well, you've been wonderful. I really appreciate your excellent questions. I would just add my support for the two seminarians who have resigned from their positions and left the seminary, Stephen and Matthew, and also my pledge of prayerful support for the seminarians who remain. They had a very, very difficult year.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
For them. So I'm just praying for them and praying for everyone in our diocese and just trusting that the truth will come out. It may be painful, but we know that it's what we need to have now. We need the truth.
Well, I am grateful for your time. We're going to see what some of the other folks have to say out there. And obviously, if you think of anything, that you say, geez, I wish I would have remembered to have said that, feel free to call us back. Always welcome.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Tom. I appreciate this opportunity very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Siobhan O'Connor joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And she's former executive assistant to the bishop, the whistleblower who is on 60 Minutes, and, of course, national media, et cetera. And obviously, the news that Father Richard has taken a leave of absence from being the personal secretary to the bishop of Buffalo, it kind of spread through the radio station and through the newsroom like obviously a flame through a tinderbox of a forest. And we are still digesting this news and what it may portend. And one of the questions I would ask you as Catholics, and remembering that most of you listening to my voice right now are of the Catholic faith, is it time for your bishop to resign? Should he hang in there? Should he stick it out? What questions would you have at this point? We've heard allegations from seminarians. We've heard, obviously, the fact that Father Richard has taken a leave of absence. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And in one of the worst segues in radio history, we do have a winner of the tickets to see Kiss playing at Darien Lake at the end of the month. I'll have more tickets to give away Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And if you'd like more information about the show, it's livenation.com. We need to take a break on WBEN. When we come back, we will get right back to your phone calls. Is it time for the bishop to resign? What do you make of what has happened here over the past 24 to 48 hours, and especially this most recent news about Father Richard, very well-known individual within the local diocese, on News Radio 930 WBEN. Father Richard, who has been the personal secretary to Bishop Malone, has taken a leave of absence from that position after apparently consulting with legal counsel. Do not know what that portends. One of the questions I would ask you, keeping in mind that most of you are of the Catholic faith, is it time for the bishop to step down? Do you have faith in your bishop's ability to lead the diocese through what is currently going on? And, you know, as I said at the beginning when we started talking about this, it's getting to be, if not a daily situation, it's almost a daily situation. And this is a show that I wasn't ready for it today, but fortunately I've been keeping some tabs on it, so there wasn't all that much refreshing to do. Let's go to Bill in Eden on WBEN. Bill, you are on. What do you make of all this?
Tom, wow, just wow. I have to respond to what I just heard before I really mention anything else about whether, and I do think the bishop should stay, but I'm just hearing you speaking with Miss O'Connor there, and there's just some things I really wanted to bring up since you spent so much time speaking with her. I know in the past it's been public emails and stuff that have been, that she had written before to the diocese. In March 2016, for example, she said, "You, Bishop Malone, have maintained that heartfelt compassion and concern, especially for those most in need. I simply cannot overemphasize how blessed our diocese is to have you as our shepherd. Thank you for helping me become a better person through your example." And I noticed this, too, because I went to the diocese's webpage, which has all kinds of information on this entire subject, which is continuously updated, which is buffalodiocese.org/protection. This is just a brief excerpt from the email that she sent to her friends at the Catholic Center when she left. And that is here where it says, "Last but certainly not least, I must thank Bishop Malone, without whom none of my Catholic Center experiences would have been possible. Bishop, it has been a privilege to work by your side as you shepherd our diocese. There are too many memories to list, but here are a few highlights," and this is just a couple that I'll mention here. These are all little bullet points. "Witnessing firsthand your Sheen-like eloquence on paper and in person," that refers to Bishop Fulton J.
Right.
Sheen. "Watching you light up at the mention of a school visit, parish mass, or calendar clubbing," this one here, "like printing out your daily agenda in a state of awe at your stamina and dedication, sharing our love of snow and all the beauty winter brings," and the last one here, "popping into your office to ask you a quick question, only to find you faithfully praying your office, That's the divine office. That's the prayer that bishops and priests and deacons say. But I am really upset with this, because after that, she sent that beautiful letter, that email. Then, unbeknownst to the people there, as an executive secretary, let's not forget, she took personnel information, copied it, kept a copy for herself, brought it, and put it to the mainstream media, went on 60 Minutes, and on the extras for 60 Minutes, she said she was so angry with the diocese that she wanted to burn down the Catholic Center. You could see her saying that right on the 60 Minutes thing. After that, we had the bishop in the airport. He's harassed by Michael Voris because this all went public and such. And then she went on even further and other kinds of things. I don't know all of them.
Bill, you know I'm a fair man, and you know that I need, well, usually I'm a fair man. I need to put you on hold until after the news at 5 and get you back on the air after that. Is that fair enough by you?
That's fair.
All right. Thank you, Bill in Eden on WBEN. Bill in Eden. And there are a few of you who listen to the show who've made yourselves known either through email or phone calls over the years. I know to be people who are, you know, extremely Catholic, you know, very, very well versed in your faith, very, very supportive of your faith. And your input obviously is always very appreciated. Got a nice email off the air from somebody that I suggested might want to call in today, and was very grateful to hear from her as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.